And now, Nocturne. One of the most popular, intriguing, and hotly debated questions in modern dating is that of a person's body count. The question and the judgments that so often follow the answer seem to reveal more about the person asking than the one being asked. But what if we've misunderstood the cost of intimacy altogether? Tonight's bedtime story examines what happens when every encounter leaves more than just a memory behind. And when the debt we spent a lifetime believing someone else owed is ultimately demanded of us. Welcome back to Blackwater Estate. Welcome to the Garden of Evolution. Body count. At first, it was the gray hairs. One became three, three became 20. Marcus told himself it was nothing. 40 was approaching. People got gray hair. That was normal. But there was something unsettling about how quickly it happened. Every few days, he would stand in front of the bathroom mirror beneath the harsh vanity light and discover another cluster. At work, he began catching his reflection in windows, at traffic lights, in the dark screen of his phone. Always checking, always counting. Then came the aching knees and the heart palpitations and the weakness in his teeth. Within 6 months, three molars loosened for no apparent reason. Symptoms kept creeping in. An ache here, a flutter there, a strange exhaustion after climbing a flight of stairs. Then one afternoon, he bit into an apple and felt something shift inside his mouth. He spat the piece into his hand, a fragment of tooth. His stomach dropped. At times, his vision blurred at odd moments, his hands trembled, sometimes while signing paperwork, pouring coffee, or while simply sitting still. By the time Marcus turned 40, he couldn't stop looking in mirrors. The doctors found nothing seriously wrong. Stress, they said. Middle age, get more sleep. One doctor suggested meditation. Another recommended reducing caffeine. A third smiled politely and explained that the body changes after 40. Marcus wanted to strangle these people. This was not normal. You don't age 10 years and 6 months. You're not supposed to wake up feeling like something has drained you from the inside out. But for Marcus, sleep was where the real horror began. Every night he dreamed he was aging, and not gradually either, rapidly. He watched wrinkles spread over his skin like cracks in dry earth. His hair whitened before his eyes, his spine bent, his flesh withered. Sometimes he stood before a mirror in the dream, watching it happen while trapped, seemingly, inside his own body, unable to move or stop it, forced to witness every second. His fingernails yellowed, his skin sagged, his eyes clouded over, and every morning he woke up feeling older, weaker. Eventually, fear drove him somewhere he hadn't visited in years. His grandmother's house at Blackwater Estate. The old mansion sat hidden among cypress trees draped in Spanish moss. The road leading there seemed unchanged from childhood. Narrow, crooked, almost swallowed by the forest. The trees arched overhead and looked like the ribs of some enormous sleeping beast. He was getting a hell of a lot more sleep than Marcus was. As a child, Marcus hated visiting this place. It creaked, the shadows felt alive, and Grandma Yasmin was always talking about spirits. Not in the playful way old folks always talked about ghosts around kids. She spoke as though they were neighbors, as if they were trading gossip with her in the morning and sipping lemonade with her on the porch at night. As though they occasionally stopped by to borrow a cup of sugar. His mother tolerated it. His uncles mocked it. Marcus spent most of his life pretending not to believe any of it. Yet here he was. The mansion emerged from the trees, grand, dark, and silent, waiting. He parked and sat in the car for a moment. His hands trembled on the steering wheel. Then he forced himself out. Grandma Yasmin met him at the door before he could knock. About time. Marcus sighed. How did you know I was coming? The dead got better manners than the living. She stepped aside. Come in. The house smelled exactly as he remembered. Herbs in the air, old books everywhere, countless candles standing at attention on shelves, and something earthy he could never quite identify. The wooden floors groaned beneath every step. Portraits of long dead relatives lined the hallway. They sat together in the parlor. Candles flickered, the smell of lemongrass and citronella was thick. Outside, wind whispered through the moss. Inside, the room felt strangely insulated from time. Marcus explained everything. The nightmares and physical symptoms, the fear, and the growing uncertainty that something was terribly wrong. He hesitated to point out the loose teeth, but forced himself to show her. The embarrassment felt ridiculous. He was 40 years old, yet somehow, sitting in that room made him feel 12 again. When he finished, Grandma Yaz sat quietly and stared at him. Not with a look of concern or curiosity, like she was waiting for him to say more. As if she was sure he was somehow at fault for all this, and she was waiting for him to admit it. But he didn't. He simply stared back, bewildered. She nodded. Wasn't that your cousin James over here on the phone talking to you just the other day, running his mouth about soul ties or something? She chuckled. He'd been back in that church. Got him out here talking that same shit your uncles were saying decades ago, just to keep a woman from jumping on another dick. Marcus couldn't believe she was about to start bad-mouthing his late Uncle Ron again. Not now. While he was falling apart. Can you just focus on helping me right now, Grandma? I'm trying to. But he went on. I think I'm really sick. Might be dying or something. I don't need to hear another story about your good-for-nothing ex that ran off. She persisted. Marcus, these fools out here think soul ties apply to women only, but they affect men more. Because y'all think you're immune. Marcus groaned. Grandma, just because you don't have an anatomy that receives doesn't mean you aren't picking up spiritual sludge everywhere you go. Marcus rolled his eyes. But he kept quiet while she went on. The spirit has no gender, and your spirit is a sponge. She leaned closer. When was the last time your spirit had a bath? Marcus looked away. For once, he had no joke ready, no sarcastic remark, no retort to dismiss her as a bitter old lady. Because the truth was, he felt heavy and bogged down. He had been feeling that way even before the illness set in, though he'd never admitted aloud. Now you want to come in here and leave a big ass ring around my tub with all that shit you've been picking up from this one and that one. Despite himself, he finally laughed. But the laughter died quickly because she wasn't smiling. He tried to lighten the mood. Grandma, you know I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not like James and little Ronnie. I know that, Marcus. You always been a good dude. And even though I shouldn't give you credit for being a decent human being, I will. Nonetheless, you are clueless. The last statement surprised him, She folded her hands. You've never even questioned the game, have you? What game? The one where every woman gets a number while you get a prize. His eyes sharpened. The one where men's experience becomes wisdom and women's experience becomes shame. Marcus shifted uncomfortably. Images surfaced, locker room conversations, college parties, jokes, stories, entire belief systems he'd absorbed without ever giving it a second thought. Every woman y'all think you win. Everyone whose virginity you considered a prize or whose agreeable nature you consumed like a meal, every one of them has made her deposit into your energy field. A chill crawled up his back. He suddenly remembered the women from those dreams, the voices, the faces, the watchers. All those thought forms have now grown into one, she continued, as the room fell even more silent. And because there is something you still owe, something that is rightfully hers, she has come to make her withdrawal. Marcus swallowed hard. Are you telling me this is a succubus? Grandma raised one eyebrow. Oh, now you believe. She could see the memories wash over his face. His eyes darted with recollections of all the warnings she had given them as teenagers, all the stories they were too busy to listen to. And a small smile touched her lips. Still, that night, she performed a cleansing for him. She burned herbs, recited prayers, read scriptures from ancient books handwritten in by ancestors. The ritual stretched for hours. At first, Marcus felt ridiculous, then uncomfortable, then frightened. Was it working? He hoped to God it was. The room grew hot, not warm, hot, the kind of heat that presses against the skin. The room filled with smoke, heat, energy. And Marcus felt lighter. For a moment. Then every candle went out at once. Darkness swallowed the room. Grandma Yaz prayed harder. Her voice rose. The floorboards rattled. Wind howled outside. Marcus thought he heard breathing in the darkness. Not his own, something else. Something patient. Hours later, they sat together in exhausted silence. Marcus watched his grandmother rise from her chair. This time, he noticed the cane. When had she started using a cane? The realization startled him. Grandma Yaz had always seemed indestructible. The woman who still climbed ladders, fixed tools, tended the estate gardens, cussed out grown men twice her size. But now she moved slowly. Carefully, as though every step cost her something. What happened to you? She paused and smiled. Life, you know I'm old. Marcus studied her face, her hands, the deep exhaustion in her eyes. For the first time, she looked her age, even older than that. You seem sick. I am. The answer came too quickly, too honestly. Something about it unsettled him. He glanced toward the dark windows, then back at her. And suddenly a terrible idea began to enter his mind. But before he could complete the thought, his vision blurred again and he lost consciousness. When Marcus came to, he was lying on the sofa in the den, and she was dabbing his forehead with a cool cloth, slowly, with loving care. How long was I out? About an hour. As his vision cleared, the first thing he noticed was how beautiful her hands looked. Not beautiful for an old woman, gorgeous, smooth, vibrant, alive. It was such a drastic change from the way they looked right before he passed out. Then, every one of her 75 years seemed etched into a wrinkle. Now, those wrinkles had faded. The cane she was using before was nowhere in sight. She noticed him looking and kept dabbing. Patiently waiting. What happened, Grandma? She just nodded. Encouraging him to speak his mind. He didn't, though. Instead, he thought, really thought. For perhaps the first time, he considered every symptom, every dream, every warning, every strange thing she'd said, every impossible thing he'd ignored. And when he finally figured it out, he looked sharply across the room toward her. The cane was gone. She was walking like her old self again, strutting like a peacock on a stage. And he was enraged. I never asked to be here, he yelled. To be born here? He struggled to sit up. Pain shot through his body. Then he stared straight into her eyes. I don't owe you anything. But it sounded more like pleading for his life, for mercy, for the grandmother who used to sneak him candy and kiss his forehead when he was sick. She kissed him on the cheek. You don't anymore. But you did. You was just too stupid to know it. Her kiss seemed to energize him slightly, just enough. He couldn't tell whether the cleansing was finally working or whether he simply wanted to believe she still cared. He looked at her face. It appeared 20 years younger, maybe more. He didn't know whether to be happy or terrified. She went on. I got what I came for, though. She stood, put on her favorite hat, and headed toward the door. Lock up on your way out. Wait a damn minute, Marcus cried. What the hell? What the hell just happened? You paid your debt. You'll be all right in a few weeks. Drink plenty of water. Take a few days off. You'll be fine, boy. You put this on me? He hissed. Not at all alarmed by his anger, she responded. I did. She leaned close enough for him to smell the rose oil she liked to put behind her ears whenever she was going out on a date. And this time, she said, you're going to have to heal yourself. She stood up, brushed off her pencil skirt, and sauntered back to the door. Then she looked back one last time. Her eyes sparkled, not with cruelty, not even with triumph. With certainty. But if you really take after me like everybody say, you'll be just fine. Resigned, Marcus slowly stood to his feet. The door opened before Grandma Yaz. Sunlight spilled into the entryway. She smiled as the rays soaked her skin. The light momentarily scorched his eyes. But after those few seconds of pain, he started to see more clearly than he had for months. I'm Inanna Joy, award-winning author, cultural commentator, and creator of The Garden of Evolution. Thank you for spending this time with me here in Inanna Joy's Sonic Garden, where we explore evolved love, sensual intelligence, freedom, and deeper human connection. If tonight's conversation moved you, challenged you, or expanded your thinking, be sure to pick up my award-winning book, Fuck Submission, Ending the Gender Wars for Good, available now on Amazon. And don't forget to leave a review later. You can catch me on Instagram with the handle @JoyInanna and on Facebook as Inanna Joy. Or to learn more about me and read my blog, check out www.inanna.com. That's www.inanna-joy.com. Until next time, follow your bliss to your purpose, align with your joy, and live well. I'll meet you again soon in Inanna Joy's Sonic Garden.
Time's been moving slowly, so we already in too deep. Can't get no sleep on each other, heavy teasing all day. And when the sun sets, you asking me to come.